Casey Foundation.
And support for WMNF comes from our members and Goodwill, the annual book drive for Goodwill's childhood literacy program, Bookworks, is now underway. Donations of children's books labeled for Bookworks will be accepted at any Goodwill store or donation site now through March 15th. Goodwill will make sure they are given to children who may not otherwise have books of their own. More at goodwill-suncoast.org. And if you have a car you no longer need, think about using it to support WMNF. Donating a car, truck, or other vehicle is a great way to support the causes you care about most, like your station. Visit WMNF.org or call 888-966-3885. Good afternoon. You are listening to WMNF 88.5 FM. This is community radio from West Central Florida, and you are tuned to Executive Session, which is a forum for discussion of the executive branch of your United States government. My name's John Gilmore. I host these sessions each weekday, Monday through Thursday at this time. In this conversation, we welcome all viewpoints. We require civility, as we're kind of using the radio as the back fence of the nation, which is to say a place for reasonable people to hash out the issues of the day and walk away enriched, even if they still don't agree. And you can join the conversation at 813-239-9663. You can reach the studio by email at dj@wmnf.org and by text at 813-433-0885. Be sure to find Executive Session on Facebook and like and follow the page so you can see all the links to the material we're discussing that day. And you can join the conversation there. Hope your weekend was refreshing and safe and that you stayed securely buckled up. Sometimes we open the sessions with some commentary or satire. Today we're going to play a recording posted by The Guardian, which is a British broadsheet, a British daily broadsheet. And this is something that they call the most bizarre moments from Donald Trump's CPAC speech.
No, I'm totally off script right now. The Green New Deal, right? Darling, is the wind blowing today? I'd like to watch television, darling. Russia, please, if you can, get us Hillary Clinton's emails. Please, Russia, please.
He asked Russia to go get the emails.
We're going to look into his finances. I said, where did that come from? He always talked about Russia. The attorney general says, I'm going to recuse myself. And I said, why the hell didn't he tell me that before I put him in? Russia, 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 Russia. My wife said, you never spoke to anybody from Russia, darling. I said, that's right.
President Trump is waiting for the Mueller report.
He's bad. He's a bad, bad. He's a bad, bad guy. But you know what I like about this? Number one, I'm in love, and you're in love. We're all in love together. We've done something that nobody's ever done. Don, how you doing? Hey, Donnie. I love you, Donnie. For 35 years, now they call...
Mr. President, sir. How are you?
Trains to Hawaii. How do you get to Europe? We haven't figured that one out yet. We don't use airplanes anymore. Is doing well, except, of course, for the Never Trumpers. But they are on mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. You don't get rich by sitting behind a desk, so I didn't want to do that. And I'm in the White House, and I was lonely. I said, let's go to Iraq. Okay, General Raisin Kane, how fast can... Sir... We can have it totally finished in 1 week. I said, 1 week? And yet I see senators that are there for 20 years, white hair. See, I don't have white hair.
Yes, I agree with this.
This speech should have been delivered 1 year from now, not now, damn it. Because they're going to grip together. They're going to say, you know, this guy's really... laying for us. I should have saved the Pocahontas thing for another year. Instead, we believe in free speech, including online and including on campus. Today, I'm proud to announce that I will be very soon signing an executive order requiring colleges and universities to support free speech if they want federal research dollars. Who does this? Other countries say, get the hell out of here. They will execute the baby after birth. Donald Trump should not under any circumstances. They're trying to take you out with bullshit, okay?
And that was a collection of excerpts put together by The Guardian of what they call the most bizarre moments from Donald Trump's CPAC speech. So the president had one of his toughest weeks in office last week, and he took the case to the Conservative Political Action Conference on Saturday. That speech was delivered apparently extemporaneously, just as he said, totally off script. And he wandered from fact on a couple of points. And in the executive session Facebook page, you'll find a link to the fact-checking that the Chicago Tribune did on his remarks. The nuclear summit with the North Koreans broke down with no agreement, and the president blamed the hearings with his former lawyer, Michael Cohen, for the failure. He has issued an executive order declaring a national emergency to try and get funds for his border wall, and the Congress refused to pay for it. The House has already passed legislation blocking the declaration, and now it appears that the Senate will also pass that bill with the help of at least four Republicans, who will vote against the president. The Fox News reports that both the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee and the ranking member of the Senate Intelligence Committee have said there is evidence of, are you ready, collusion between the president and Russia. So we start out, and it's a very simple question. What is the state of this presidency? What do you think is going to happen in the next 6 months? And by the way, you heard the president mention an executive order depriving colleges of any federal funding unless they support free speech. What do you suppose he's talking about when he talks about withholding federal funds unless a college or university upholds free speech? Let's talk.
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played
songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made.
Those were the days.
Mister, we could use a man like Herbert Hoover again. Didn't need no welfare state.
Everybody pulled his weight.
G.R.O. was sour and great. Those were the days.
And we are in session for this Monday. We have been, some of us in the bunker, and some of us simply trying to relax. And since we last spoke on Buckle Up Thursday, it was a relatively calm weekend unless you watched the president's remarks at CPAC, and I didn't do that. I have only seen parts of it. I have to admit that the parts I have seen were fairly bizarre, and I also have to admit that it's entirely possible that the people who excerpted that could have done that deliberately. So, but I don't know. I've watched this president, and we've all watched this president speak extemporaneously. We've all seen him leave the script and go off on his own. So the remarks that I saw, and you know, by all means, let's talk about that. But the remarks that I saw were all well within his normal range of oration, so to speak. So what do you think? 813-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2 239-9663 this afternoon, and we are going to go and talk to, I believe we're going to go and talk to Cheryl in St. Pete. Is that you? Are you there? Let me try that again. Are you there? Well, it says that the button is clicked, and it says that there should be somebody on the air, but I don't hear anybody. So I am going to leave Cheryl. Cheryl, listen, if you can hear, hold on for just a second. Let me make sure all the buttons are pushed and all the tubes are lined up and everything. Yes, sir, I should be able to hear you. If you can hear me, go ahead and call back. I'm going to go ahead and cut you off because you need to call back, and we'll see if we can get a hold of you on another line. Okay, 813-239-9663. Scott in St. Petersburg, are you there? Scott in St. Petersburg. Okay, I don't. Okay. Well, I have pushed the connect button, and I don't seem to be able to connect. All right, now let's see here. I'll tell you what. Danny, are you there?
Hello.
Hey, how you doing? Do I need to operate from there?
Something wrong, okay. Because when you were talking, I couldn't hear you for a while there when I was on hold.
Oh, that's okay. It's probably the best few minutes of your day. Listen, if you've been on the line and we tried to connect with you, and I'm going to talk past you for just a second, Danny. If,
okay.
And you weren't able to, we weren't able to reach you. We weren't able to get you on the air. Go ahead and call back, and we'll try it again, okay? It's 813-239-9663, and we are talking about what is the state of this presidency? Danny, what do you think?
I think it's in dire straits.
Do you?
Yes, I do, because of the reprehensible speech that he gave Saturday. And let me tell you, do you see now where Fox News now, they came out now where they tried to kill the Stormy Daniels story before the election? It's already been confirmed.
No, I have not seen. I was busy with a whole bunch of just with the stuff that we started out with this morning.
Oh, yeah.
So I was not watching the what you might call the most current events. I was kind of trying to catch us up since Thursday.
Since Thursday, yeah. Well, that's one of them. And let's see. I just saw him now. He had some hamburger for the North Dakota State football team, and they asked him if there was any collusion. Is there no collusion? Let's eat. So anyway, so let's go back to the Cohen testimony. I like what one of the Democratic congressmen said. What they're scared of over here, the Republicans, is you're not telling any lies. They're scared of you telling the truth is what they're scared of. And let me tell you something. To sit there and Jim Jordan, and Jim, what a reprehensible human being. And Matt Gaetz should be disbarred.
I think Mr. Gaetz might find himself on the downstream side of a considerable amount of consternation, at least, and possibly disciplinary measures at worst, because what he did is a blatant attempt at intimidating a federal witness, a congressional witness.
Yeah, you know, these two guys, they would work for Hitler. Actually, they do.
Well, I don't know. I know that Mr. Jordan is. There is no shortage of partisanship in his his being.
Oh my God! The way he went after you, when he told Michael Cohen, he goes, "That's it, isn't it? That's it. You wanted a job at the White House, and you weren't brought to the dance, wasn't it? That had to do with that sarcasm. That
yeah.
Just could wait to pound, and then meddles with that." Political stunt that he did, putting the African American woman there as a confirmation that Donald Trump is not racist because he's got this woman working for him. And Tlaib came back and Rashida Tlaib came back and said she didn't call him a racist. She called that political stunt a racist.
Yeah.
He should have apologized to her. She should have apologized to him.
Well,
and then it's unbelievable. But you know what I am glad about? that Michael Cohen was able with a question that Cortez asked him about who else is involved in another follow-up, and now they're looking at Matthew Calamari, what a name.
Yeah.
They're looking at all the, now Ivanka, Donald, SDNY is going to press this, and Nadler is, I'm telling you, John, I see this is coming together. They're zeroing in, John. They are zeroing in on him.
Well, I'll tell you what, Danny, I fully grasped the content and the general demeanor of the Republicans in that hearing when I saw people literally wagging their fingers at the witness.
Yeah.
And then invoking liar, liar, pants on fire.
I mean,
if that's all you've got to bring to the party, you are not on. You know, you're just not on it.
Not on it at all. It was exactly, John. It was disgraceful. Another disgraceful attempt. And I just hope that we'll see what happens and as it goes down. And I believe there's some interesting things that are going to go down. And it's just the guy is. This Trump is unbelievable. He really is.
Here's the path is that the special counsel has a mandate to investigate the issue with the Russians and their interference and whether or not there was anyone cooperating with the Russians in what our intelligence community has said was at least a focused attempt at messing with our elections. But he's also mandated to investigate things that arise in the normal course of the other investigation.
That's right.
So it's, well, and I've made this analogy before, the trooper stops you because your taillight isn't working. You know,
yeah,
he is not going to ignore the dribble of blood coming out from your trunk,
exactly. And then when he was asked, by Jackie Spears, who, by the way, was shot out there. You know, she was one of the ones who were shot in back then in Jonestown. You know, and when she went to Guyana, by the way. Yeah, she asked him, how many times did he ask you to intimidate people through there? About 500.
Yeah, I saw that. That was astonishing. All right, listen, you've kicked us off again, Danny. We are now fully at speed and headed for we don't know where. Which is the question that we are entertaining today. What is the state of this presidency? Thanks for calling, Danny. We'll talk again.
Thank you so much.
Sure enough. And 813-239-9663. And we are catching up as we do on Mondays because it's Thursday afternoon, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and all of Monday morning that we have to kind of catch up on here before we move on. But the... So we're trying to catch up, and one of the things that the president said at the CPAC, in his CPAC remarks, was a remark about an executive order withholding federal funds from higher learning institutions that don't support free speech. What do you suppose he means by that? What do you? I mean, and this is we're inviting conjecture because I don't think he's clarified those remarks. It got a big response in the room, so apparently whoever was listening were fairly clear that they knew what he was talking about. So let's see if we can pick up from the board here. Scott, are you there? All right, Scott, are you there? Yeah.
I am here.
There you go. How about that? Right. We got to push different buttons today. All right. Well, welcome to the session.
Thank you. You know, talking about the free speech thing, it just shows how Trump is such a two-faced person. You know, he's all for colleges letting anyone talk, especially the far right, yet he wants to stifle news reporters, keep them from going to his conferences because they ask tough questions. You know, you got to let everybody in if you're going to be like that. And he doesn't. He just wants to pick people, pick situations, that favor him.
So you when you've been listening to the man for a good long time, we've watched him in office for a good long time, and we have heard reports from around the country about disruptions in when people were brought on to speak, but people being disinvited. So, what is your sense of what he's talking about? What is he trying to accomplish by saying that?
Well, he wants these white supremacist groups and people that support him that are far right to be able to go around and spread their word. Which supports him.
I see. So I wonder if he is as interested in enforcing, say, speakers from maybe Black Lives Matter.
Right.
Or, you know.
And he would not. I'm sure of that.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's just like he was getting down on Saturday Night Live because they had a very funny skit about him. He's like, they should pull their license.
Yeah, how about that? He wants some sort of I can't remember the word that he used. Some kind of sanction. I know that's not the word, but he was very upset at their portrayal.
You know, I just think whenever Trump goes out to a rally or like the seat crap thing he was at, they should just call that, you know, that's the Trump comedy tour. His latest it's all laughable what he says.
I watched the guy, and it occurs to me that he's a frustrated comic. He really likes the laughter. He really likes the applause. He's good at finding out what people are listening for and delivering it.
Yes.
You know, I mean, he does vocal characterizations. That whole little clip that we played is full of vocal characterizations.
Well, he knows how to pander to the crowd.
Yeah.
You know, and when he has this captive crowd there, it all goes over well. But, you know, nobody else gets a chance to do that with him.
Yeah. Well, all right. Listen, I'm glad that we got to talk, and thanks for calling. We'll talk again.
You bet. Keep it going.
Yeah, that's what we're up to. 813-239-9663. We'll get you in contact this afternoon with Mr. Frank Knox. Frank will answer your call, get you ready to step in here and have your say in the session this afternoon. We are catching up from last Thursday. We're going over the weekend and the speech at the CPAC convention and the fact that the nuclear summit with the North Koreans, I don't know, I guess it's possible that you could cite something as a as an accomplishment, but they literally canceled a signing ceremony and they even canceled a lunch. And that's how quickly the thing broke down. They didn't even go to lunch that day. They just said, okay, that's enough, and we all walked away. So the president blamed that on the testimony of Michael Cohen, blamed the breakdown in the North Korean nuclear summit in Hanoi with, blamed that on the timing of the hearings where Michael Cohen was testifying. So what do you think of that? And also, what do you think of the fact that it looks to me and to most of the rest of the political observers around now that Rand Paul has come out and said he is going to vote in favor of the resolution that blocks the president's national emergency declaration? Do you think that the president's promised to veto that? What do you think is going to happen when that goes back into the Senate? 813-239-9663 will get you in contact with Mr. Frank Knox. In the meantime, we are going to talk to Tom in Tampa. Good afternoon, Tom.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you?
So far, not bad.
I was just listening to your comments, and I watched it live. the summit. I was actually in Asia during the first summit.
Uh-huh.
And your comment about Trump is blaming the hearings for the failure of the summit.
Mm-hmm.
I think I actually heard that the first time on CNN during the summit, when they were claiming that the Democrats were ruining the summit, because when you went to your hotel room in Vietnam after the summit proceedings, all you saw was on CNN International was the hearings.
Hmm.
And how the president is in trouble, the president's going to go to jail, the president's guilty of this, the president's guilty of that. So if Trump said that on Saturday, or whatever that speech was he gave before CPAC, he stole that line from the mainstream media.
Listen, when the president starts stealing his material from CNN, you know he is scraping somewhere near the bottom of his bucket.
do you not remember, I mean, did you not see the media saying that this was affecting the summit that he was having in Vietnam?
Actually,
on the other side of the world?
Actually, I didn't, and I don't, you know, and I don't know.
I have cable, I guess.
Well, here's the thing. I watch a lot of different sources, and CNN is among the very less frequented cable stations around our house.
It's the only cable available to any international travel. CNN International is basically the only, unless Al Jazeera, which is actually a pretty good news channel if you watch it.
Yeah.
They don't have a dog in our fight. And then BBC, which is about like CNN with different letters.
Yeah. I found that I actually agree with you at Al Jazeera. I think that Al Jazeera is sometimes a little snarky. And I think that they make comments where, given where they're based, I'm not sure they have any ground to stand on for criticism, some of the criticisms that they make. But I agree with you. Their reporting is generally pretty straightforward.
And then to your second point, and I'll let you go, was about the national emergency. I'm still paying medical bills where I got rear-ended in St. Petersburg by a guy who, as soon as he left the scene and took the ticket, they never could find again. He was in the country illegally.
Uh-huh.
So that has a personal effect on me.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I'm not the only person with that story.
Yeah. Well, you know what? There is no question in my mind that the whole system that we have for dealing with the immigration across our southern border needs to be fixed. There's no doubt about that. Part of what we could be doing is spending some of our time and money seeing if there isn't something we can do to undo the damage that we did down in Central America for the last 100 years that helped foster the situation those people are fleeing from.
Well, my ex-wife is Colombian. She came to the country. I married her a couple of months after she got here on a tourist visa. I lived in Miami 15 years. Britain was doing that in the 1500s, 1600s.
Mm.
Are we going to go after them for that too?
Well, you know, I don't know. I think that it's hard. Well, I mean, you can go back all the way to the Incas and the Aztecs. The Spaniards were in here being pretty mischievous.
The Incas were the bloodiest group, more than anyone.
So it is a matter of how far back down the tree you're willing to go, but to look. But I think that our interventions, and I use that word advisedly, our interventions in the area are the most recent and hence are likely to be the ones with the most destructive outcomes currently. So that's all.
I just listen to people, and I don't know how they come up with this, all Trump supporters are racist. I'm a Trump supporter because I'm a country supporter.
Mm-hmm.
My business is at least making money again,
mm-hmm.
because of the president, his direct action.
Okay.
I'm in the insurance business. They're about to kill the healthcare industry again.
Uh-huh. Well, you and I might have a conversation about that at some point, but not right now because we're kind of running out of time.
All right,
but listen, I very much appreciate you calling in, and invite you to call in again.
Have a great day.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663 will get you into the conversation. And right now, we're going to step out of the conversation and let you know about some other folks that are assisting you in supporting your radio station, and also about some stuff that you might be interested in going to. Support for WMNF comes from our members and UF Online, providing education to qualified students regardless of their location. Online students earn the same degree as their non-campus counterparts. UF believes it's time to expect more from an online education. UF Online students don't just log in, they connect.
Hi, this is Angela B. We're back again. The Caribbean Cruise Music Festival will take place at Skipper's Smokehouse, Saturday, March the 23rd. Live bands include Impulse, Renegade, Jafarai, Trinity 7, Sucker Boys, Spy vs. Spy, Terry Edwards and the Latin Jazz Band. For more information, go online to WMNF.org. The doors open at 4 p.m. See you there.
And we're back to the conversation this afternoon, catching up for the 3.5 or 4 days since Buckle Up Thursday last week, talking about the president's CPAC remarks, and also the fact that, and the Chicago Tribune, if you go to the executive session Facebook page and look, there is a link to the Chicago Tribune's fact check on it. It's a very interesting, list. He, shall we say, wandered from precision on a number of points, and that's not particularly unusual. Anyway, 813-239-9663, and we're going to go and talk to, let me see if I can read this name. Is it Isaac? Isaac, hold on for just a second, Isaac. Is that you, Isaac?
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good. It's good to hear from you. I got a message from somewhere over in your vicinity that you were going to be out of school today, and we might hear from you. So welcome back. Good to hear from you.
Yeah.
What you been thinking about?
So just to get back on you, last time you were talking about me on the radio, you said you weren't sure how old I am. Well, I am 9 years old.
Okay.
And as being a fourth grade student, I know I don't get the best grades. And, like, I don't really get the best grades. But I was shocked that President Trump doesn't want to release his grades. He, like, threatened his school to not release his grades.
Yeah, how about that?
I know.
I mean, if you are a self-proclaimed genius, it seems, well, I guess, reasonable that you might want to have your grades on display, you think?
Well, why would you be embarrassed about your grades?
It's a good question. It's a good question. Now, most...
You're learning.
Yeah. By the way, grades are interesting, and they are a measure of some stuff, and they are not a measure of everything, and they certainly are not necessarily a measure of how smart you are. There were places in school where my grades were, let's see, less than stellar, I guess you could say, and... But I did learn a lot, even if it wasn't in that subject.
Exactly.
So, what you, you were mostly captured your attention by the fact that the president was actually, according to Mr. Cohen, actually threatening his schools not to release his SATs and his scores. What have you been hearing about anything else out there?
Well, not really. That's kind of like everything that everyone's talking about right now.
Okay.
It's like Cohen is talking about all this stuff, like all of his threats and how Donald Trump has threatened all of these places.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much what my dad and I were discussing about me talking about today.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, I am always glad to hear from you, as I have said before. Yeah. And I always look forward to talking with you. And the next time you get a chance to give us a call, please do so. And we'll talk again.
Oh, yeah. And my dad and I were actually thinking about, like, spring break or something. We were thinking about coming to the radio station.
Have you ever been here?
No.
Oh, you should definitely. This is a neat place, Isaac. I think you'd like it a lot.
I would like it.
I think you would. I think you would really enjoy. I think you'd really enjoy seeing the place because it is a fabulous, fabulous building. It really is. It's an amazing radio station. We have people from commercial radio stations who come into this station and look around and tell us we don't have that stuff.
Wow!
So this is a very modern, kind of cutting edge type of place, and it's always being expanded. And I think you'd enjoy taking a look at it. It's, for one thing, it's huge, and I think you'd like it. I think you'd enjoy looking. I think you'd enjoy walking through it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen. When you get a chance to come on over here, and the next time that you get a chance to dial us up, give us a call.
All right.
All right. Thanks for calling, Isaac.
You're welcome.
Sure enough. All right, 813-239-9663. We have been talking about the state of the presidency. What do you think is the state of this presidency? We have seen what looked like a big buildup for a nuclear summit that basically broke down, and then the president blamed his former lawyer's testimony because he and Kim Jong-un did not reach a meeting of the minds about Kim Jong-un completely abandoning the nuclear arsenal that he essentially starved his population to get. And there were some differences, and the first thing that came out was a report that we had apparently agreed with the North Koreans that they didn't have to account for their full arsenal. So one of the things that you could call and bring us up to date on is how it is that you think we could reach an enforceable, a verifiable, a workable disarmament treaty with a nation that is not required to disclose their armament. How do you do that? And also, what do you think the president meant about this, about in kind of enforcing free speech on college campuses? 813-239-9663. We're going to go and talk to Tom in Brooksville. Tom, good afternoon. Tom in Brooksville. Good afternoon. You're in executive session, Tom.
Hiya.
Hey,
that's pretty awesome. Okay. That's free speech on campus. Real quick about that. The Koch brothers have been pumping millions of dollars on college campuses throughout the U.S., promoting their capitalist conservative ideas.
Uh-huh.
You know that, right?
I didn't know specifically that they were doing that, but they certainly have got enough money that if they wanted to, they could.
Well, they have been. They have been.
Yeah.
Except when Obama was president.
They're kind of libertarians, though, aren't they?
Capitalists.
Yeah. But I mean, the libertarians, I think, in a classic kind of way, where they just want, you know, government to provide defense and, well, I don't know, defense and roads, and maybe leave everything else alone. I'll tell you what, we get a libertarian to call us up in here and bring us up to date on just exactly what libertarian means these days. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So you were saying, anyway.
I think it's, I forget the name of the thing. Okay, but you got me. I woke up earlier today, and I started thinking, like, what is Trump's presidential library going to look like? Okay, now, and if his speeches, aren't they included in the presidential library?
You know, I don't know. I would imagine that each individual president has a considerable amount of latitude as to what does and doesn't go in there, but I don't know that.
Well, I was just thinking, like, what his library is going to look like? His speeches and his favorite book.
Uh-huh.
It's not books, the only book.
Well, you know, there is... It's interesting because there's very little evidence that he reads stuff.
No, there isn't.
You know, and he seems to go almost completely by reaction. He you know, as far as when he does things, he seems to go by his whatever reaction it is that he has, and I keep hearing that if you want action, you need to be the last person that talks to him, because the last person that talks to him about something is the person that's likely to have the most influence over how it comes out.
So I hear Sean Hannity says goodnight to him every night.
Yeah, isn't that sweet that the president and Sean Hannity talk almost every night after Sean gets off the air?
It's a bromance. It's a bromance.
It's touching. I have a difficult time with Sean, but that's not particular. That would not be particularly newsworthy.
Yeah. When I heard that thing from The Guardian, they played that bit from the excerpts from the speech, and I just started thinking again about the presidential library, and if that, you know, moving speech would be right there with Forsgren 20 years ago, you know?
Yeah. Well, it should be a very interesting library, and I hope that we get to see it sooner rather than later.
All right, man. It was nice talking with you.
All right, Tom, we'll talk again. 813-239-9663. We'll get you in contact with Mr. Frank Knox. Mr. Frank Knox will get you ready to step in here. We are going to step out of the conversation very briefly for some information, and we'll be right back. Support for WMNF comes from our members in Happy Feet Plus, a locally owned full-service footwear store featuring Birkenstock, Kenko massage sandals, and many other name brands. Happy Feet Plus offers footwear fashioned to provide relief to people with foot, leg, knee, and back pain. Styles and selections at happyfeet.com.
WMNF is a listener-supported community radio station that celebrates cultural diversity and is committed to equality, peace, and economic justice. WMNF provides broadcasts and other forums with a grassroots local emphasis that promotes creative, musical, and political vitality. WMNF advocates for peace, social justice, and environmental justice through independent media and programming neglected by the mainstream. We embrace diversity, tolerance for others' opinions, and freedom of expression. WMNF celebrates and promotes the cultural, creative, and political vitality of the local community. We're your community-conscious radio station, WMNF, Tampa.
And be sure to stay with us after the session this afternoon for It's the Music. Flea has got tickets to see Jimmy Webb, and he's going to bring you a preview of the Gasparilla Music Festival from this weekend. Here you're going to hear five very great new CDs, and live in the studio. Now, listen, seriously, look around. Where else do you hear live music on a Monday afternoon? Where on your radio dial can you get live music on a Monday afternoon? You're going to be able to hear Australian Shelley Segal. And that's all on It's the Music today between 2 and 4, or anytime online at WMNF.org. And stay with us through the afternoon, and you will be squired home through the traffic jam this afternoon. And we are going to go back to the conversation today. We're going to go back and talk to Jill. Jill, good afternoon. You are in executive session, and you have the floor.
Hey, John. How you doing?
So far, not bad.
You know, there's so many things going on right now. It's just ridiculous. You made a comment about you think he's a frustrated comedian. He has really made a laughing stock out of the presidency. I've never seen anything like him. He gets up there. He does. He makes fun of people's voices. He made fun of Sessions. Make fun of his voice, saying he didn't want him to recuse himself. That was the only really good thing Sessions did, was recuse himself. That was something I respected him for, that he recused himself.
Well, if I understand it, now I watched that whole process, and what I recall about it was that Sessions, in his confirmation hearings, made some remarks in answer to some of the questions that he was asked that he subsequently had to change. He had said he hadn't had any contact with Russians or some such, and it was my understanding that it was because he had had to change those answers that he recused himself, because he was found to actually have had involvement in whatever it is that the investigation is investigating. So he couldn't have, unless he remembered that beforehand, he wouldn't have been able to tell Mr. Trump that he was going to recuse himself, because up until the time he said that, he didn't have to.
That's exactly right. But the thing of it is that what gets me, and the thing about the wind, the thing about the wind power,
mm-hmm.
when he said, "Oh, darling, I want to watch TV today. Is it windy out?" You know, it just shows his ignorance as to the renewable. First of all, he's taking credit for all the jobs in this country. A lot of the newer jobs are all in the renewable energy field.
Mm-hmm.
And the jobs that are being created right now are being created by innovators. They're not being created by him. And anybody that gets on your show and says, "Oh, I'm a Trump supporter, he created jobs." No, he didn't create jobs. It just happens that he's the president when the jobs are being created.
And so you think it's you think it's just coincidental, huh?
Absolutely. And the job market was increasing even before he took office.
Well, the employment figures have been going up ever since sometime just shortly after the previous administration took office.
That's exactly right. So you know, and it's because of people who have made innovations and who create an economic climate that causes these jobs. And anybody that says, "Oh, I'm voting for Trump because we have jobs now," that's ridiculous. And then the thing that kills me the most, John, you're going to tell me I'm not being civil, but who are these people that listen to these speeches and listen to the stupidity that comes out of his mouth and they cheer him? Who are these people?
They are entertained. They are entertained. He is very, very entertaining, you know. He really is. He's very entertaining. He does. He's a very fine entertainer. He knows how to read a room. He knows the things to say. He has an established patter with the people there. And so it's almost like a call and response service.
But I just I wonder where of the I'm sorry, the intelligence level of these people that cheer him when he says stuff, some of the stuff he says, like the wind power remark.
Well, that's it. You know, it's kind of comic. And if you don't understand how renewable energy works, if you don't understand that the surplus generated during the day is dumped into batteries, and that you know, so to be
and it's saved,
huh?
It's saved. It's what's the word? Saved. I can't think of the word, but it's
stored.
Stored. Right. It's
yeah.
Stored.
Well,
he just shows his ignorance when he says stuff like that, because he's trying to put down the people that are trying to get us to have a, you know, have a green deal.
Well, the thing that is the thing, as far as I can tell, Jill, the thing about renewable energy is that sooner or later we are going to be forced into it, because there is only so much fossil energy stored inside the planet.
This poor planet of ours that we're sapping on a regular basis.
Well, we I mean, there's a lot of coal. I can't remember the last figure I heard about how much how long our coal reserves would last. The problem that I see with it is that every ounce of that we burn puts carbon back into the atmosphere. And
yeah.
We know what carbon does when it's in the atmosphere.
But don't you know, these people who I'm trying to relate somehow to these people that go to these rallies and go to his speeches. I'm trying to relate to them, cuz I'm trying to figure out, are they educated? Do they have any kind of education? Do they have any kind of smarts at all?
Well, I would caution against considering them as not intelligent, because they because you very, very, very clearly can see what you see. They very clearly see what they see, and whatever it is that they see, they like. And I don't, I don't understand. The man is an outed, constant liar. There's just no argument against that. And I don't see how. How do you negotiate with somebody whose word you can't take?
Exactly right. You know, and if you study his history in New York, one of the reasons why he didn't get New York in the vote, they know all about him in New York. They know he's a cheat and a liar.
Hmm.
And they also know that he's a racist, because he didn't, when he had his buildings, he wouldn't rent to black people.
Yeah. Well, the DOJ actually had some things to say with him to him about that.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, I was very interested in the drubbing that he took in his home district, because those people have known him for the longest and have known him the best. And he really did badly where he lives.
Well, because they know him. They
yeah.
know what he is. And sooner or later, I'm hoping that these people who come to these rallies and cheer him on, I hope sooner or later they're going to find out the same, because it's just ridiculous to me that he has so much support among people that I feel that should have at least a little bit more education or a little bit more smart.
Well, he does better among people without college educations than he does among people with college education. So there is some correlation there. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but I was watching somebody who was reporting polling this morning. And you and I are going to talk again, young lady, and because we are up against the time wall, and time can cares for no man or woman.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate it. I really needed to vent on
that. All right, well, we'll talk again.
Thanks, honey.
Sure enough. And that's going to be the session for today. Be sure and stay tuned for It's the Music. Free tickets to Jimmy Webb, a preview of the Gasparilla Music Festival this weekend, 5 great new CDs, and playing live in your radio station, Australian Shelley Seagal. This is all on It's the Music today between 2 and 4. Anytime online at WMNF.org. We'll be back tomorrow just after the 1 o'clock NPR news. And in the meantime, keep in mind,
it has to start somewhere. It has to start sometime. What better place than here? What better time than now?
This is WMNF Tampa.